Hi! You know it's me again, Pipslicious. Welcome to my second English podcast, chapter number 16, When Disco Music Ruled the World.
You are the dancing queen, young and sweet, only 17. Dancing queen, feel the beat from the tambourine, oh yeah.
What was the secret of this genre's success? Do you think disco music is catchy? Was disco music just a type of music or a lifestyle? What is the first thing to come to your mind when I say disco? A big party? Music that makes you dance? Platform shoes? A lot of eye makeup? Drugs and sexual liberation? All of these questions will be answered here in this podcast. Disco was a genre of up-tempo dance music that reached peak popularity during the 1970s. This music was often played at nightclubs or discotheques, and featured repetitive vocals and catchy rhythmic beats provided by instruments like drum sets, synthesizers, and bass guitars. In the beginning, disco was black music that came from black clubs, and this period in music is considered one of the most liberated periods in the history of the world. People used to say, if you were not invited to Studio 54, you were nothing at that time. There were no limits and boundaries. Sexual liberation was a movement, and lots of people died due to AIDS and the crazy lifestyle. Have you ever heard about John Travolta, Bee Gees, Disco Divas, and Studio 54? Keep listening to this amazing story. At the end of the 60s, the Vietnam War was still going on. Women were tired of staying at home and being obedient, and young people started to rebel against the world we were living in. Human rights and spreading love were the most important thing to do, not judge and divide the society. At that time, it was not okay to say you were gay. The LGBTQI movement started growing, as well as the women and black movements. The main idea was to have fun and not judge whoever was right next to you dancing and partying like a rock star atmosphere. The discotheques were the meeting place for everybody, and they used to call them church. People take tambourines and maracas to celebrate freedom and spread love. This movement started in New York City, and then it spread all over the world. In 1972, KC and the Sunshine Band started to create disco music, and it was such a success. Hits like That's the Way I Like It, Shake Your Booty, and Give It Up were huge. But the most important thing about this band was that they gave a message to the world. It doesn't matter if you are black or white, you can have fun and enjoy disco music. Disco was played on the discotheques, but not on the radio. This type of music was not well accepted by society. Actually, it was considered underground music. The industry started growing and women were involved in music. A world that less than 20 years ago was ruled by men. The music diva figures started during this period. Great singers such as Diana Ross, Donna Summer, Chaka Khan, Gloria Gaynor, Thelma Houston and Grace Jones started to perform everywhere. Gloria Gaynor was the first artist to use the method of extending her songs so they could play at the disco without repeating. She has songs 20 minutes long. Then Donna Summer took the risk of moaning on a disco song, Love to Love You Baby, a 7-minute orgasm song. Women were becoming empowered and sexual liberation was in the spotlight at that time. Then in the mid-70s, people started to feel the need to learn how to dance. That's why the typical steps people did at the disco were recreated in TV shows. The bump, the hustle, the twirl. If you were a good dancer, people do this big circle so you can show everybody the moves you have. So you became the dancing king or the queen, as ABBA sang. 1977, Saturday Night Fever was the movie that globalized the genre. It was the closest thing to documenting the lives of the young people who used to have fun at the disco. The Bee Gees were the kings of disco music. That was when disco went mainstream. John Travolta was perfect to play this character. his movements and personality fit so well into this universe. Studio 54 opened in May of 1977 in New York City, and it was considered the best club in the world. The concept attracted the most influential celebrities at that time, like Halston, Andy Warhol, Cher, Michael Jackson, Woody Allen, Bianca Jagger, Liza Minnelli, and Freddie Mercury. It was these top celebrities who brought life to this disco. It was also known for sex, sex, and drugs. It was before AIDS awareness and nobody was concerned about dying. If you were not a celebrity, they tend to make castings out of the club to get inside, so you had to be sexy, fashionable, and unique to enter. Once, they rejected Nile Rodgers, so he went to his apartment to have a private party, and that's where it started the group Chic, with a massive hit called La Freak. In 1978, Gloria Gaynor ruled the world with the song I Will Survive. She started performing this song in Studio 54, and women in the LGBT community felt a strong connection with the song, and it was a huge hit all around the world. Disco was everywhere, from Burger King ads to every single TV show. Everything was about disco. Disco Step by Step was the first massive TV show that was dedicated exclusively to disco music. Studio 54 was so popular at that time, they started making huge amounts of money. They were the only place where you could buy cocaine in New York City, and everybody in the scene was a cocaine addict at that time. Police started to impound the club, and they found huge amounts of drugs and illegal money hidden in the rooftop. The club owners did not pay taxes, and they went to jail, and one of them died of AIDS. However, the systemic racism and homophobia that led to the emergence of disco also contributed to its downfall, as many began to rebel against disco culture and what it represented. In 1979, anti-disco sentiments reached a fever pitch when Chicago DJ Steve Dahl, who was fired after the radio station he worked at shifted from a rock to a disco format, held Disco Demolition Night during a White Sox game. People were encouraged to bring their old disco records to the game, where Dahl blew them up in the field. Shortly after, the feelings about disco seemed to shift, with disco songs become the new national tone and radio stations gradually dropping their disco playlists from their lineup. In the 80s, AIDS became an epidemic and was the consequence of a sexual revolution that started in the disco era. People were having sex with everybody without protection and overused intravenous drugs. The fun quickly stopped and people were dying. At this time, new cultures like hip-hop and punk were starting to rise and they were anti-disco too. Now let's talk about fashion. Many of us envision big afros, tinted sunglasses and shirts bottom a bit too low. There's more than that went into it. Clubgoers dressed to impress, which at that time meant extravagant and sensual clothing. Most popular for disco women were shimmery dresses or bell bottoms with a small top. The key was to accessorize. Sporting flashy jewelry was often the key to the perfect disco outfit. As for men, flared pants and patterned shirts were the rage. Their shoes were often platform, and a common accessory was a colorful scarf. Disco's legacy today is an immersive sound system, a mixed crowd, and a DJ providing a continuous stream of music for everybody's listening and dancing pleasure. Disco's legacy is also the 12-minute single and the remix, but it's also about allowing counterculture to thrive. When you walk into a club today and a sound system greets you with a warm, fuzzy feeling inside, that's disco. When you hear one of your favorite tracks extended through another, that's disco. When you hear a DJ playing a different version of a familiar track, that's disco. When you stay on the dance floor the entire night and your dancing neighbor, who is from a completely different culture background, has never left your side, that's disco. In light of recent events surrounding the killing of black men in the USA and the mass killing at a gay Florida nightclub, it's more important than ever to remember what disco actually was and what its legacy is today, even in its social political context too. Disco is always more than just music, and even though some of us, including myself, never experienced it in its original form, we are still living the legacy of disco every time we step out onto the dance floor. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I will be sharing some pictures and the most famous disco songs on my Instagram @pipslicious. Don't miss it, guys! Also, I want to say thank you especially to the German listeners. I don't know what is going on there, but I do appreciate the love and the amount of listeners I have. Thank you so much. Bye, bitches! Mwah!